All right, quieting down now. Live from the Brit and Yankee Pub Studios, it's those two fat guys, Phil and Mark, with another Brit and Yankee craft beer pubcast. I can hear the pints being pulled right now.
Not a while, dude. Bring the drums in. Let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, test it. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Take it away, lads.
Pump up the bitter.
You are paying for that beer, aren't you?
It's a nice overcast but nice day here in the lovely wilds of Sussex, and we're down near a town called Arundel, famous for a castle, a fairy tale castle. So when you come over to England, always come down to Sussex and the castle of Arundel, which is now I think owned by the Duke of Norfolk. I'm standing with a brewer who has just given 5 minutes of his time because he's right in the middle of a brew, and I'm with Brendan Quinn.
Correct. Hello.
Correct. Hi, how are you doing, Brendan?
I'm good.
Thank you
good.
So much.
You're
for
very
giving
welcome.
Me a quick interview.
No, absolutely,
here.
No problem at all. Yeah.
Where exactly are we? What's the name of the brewery?
The brewery is Arundel Brewery.
There you go, Arundel Brewery. Right, brilliant.
Yeah, who would have guessed, though?
Yeah, right.
The brewery's been going since 1992. The new owners took over about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and I joined the guys about 10 months now, going nearly 11 months. From London, I was working at two fairly biggish breweries in London, one called Gypsy Hill, where I sort of started learning my trade. And then from Gypsy Hill, I moved to Fallpier, which is sort of, I don't know if you've heard of it, the whole Bermondsey Beer Mile.
Okay.
It's quite a popular, there's like 6-7 breweries along there, so they call it the Bermondsey Beer Mile. Yeah. Bermondsey's the name of the place. Anyway, right. So I worked at those two breweries. That's where I sort of learned my trade and learned how to brew. Well, I started as a home brewer about 5 years ago.
How long have you been in the UK?
20 years.
Oh, 20 years, okay.
Yeah, 20 years. I've still got the accent.
Yeah, you've got a little bit there, yeah. And the same with me. I've been in the States for a little while. They say, are you Australian now?
Are you Australian?
No.
So I moved down, as I said, 10 months ago. We decided to move out of London as a family. I approached Stuart, who's the owner of Arundel, and the rest is history, as they say.
There you go.
So Arundel is typically a real traditional bitter ale type brewery. Mm-hmm. But since I've started, with Stuart's focus, when he took over, he wanted to eventually get to that we eventually drop the traditional stuff. Mm-hmm. We can't do it at the moment. You know, it pays my salary, pays for the lights and water.
Yeah, right.
But we're slowly starting to do the more sort of crafty, funky type beers. So we've done like a raspberry wheat. We've just done a really good New England IPA. I've done like a
so
session.
So very juicy?
Very juicy. Okay. But we did it for a client who wanted it only at 3.5, which was a little difficult because to keep a beer which is at 3.5 really sort of juicy and body, it was a little difficult, but it actually came out really, really well, and we're getting some good reviews on that. We've done like session IPA, a normal West Coast IPA, so we can see we're slowly starting to do these more sort of crafty,
right? So the influence,
American sort of,
yeah,
style.
I'm hearing an influence from America.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We were talking a little bit earlier before we were recording here, and that it's interesting how originally, you know, English ale was the envy of everybody, right? And then all of a sudden, America took off, and for the last probably 10 years it's just boomed out there, to the point where they're now saying perhaps the craft beer boom has reached its pinnacle. I don't know about that.
Okay.
But here, you know, you just described how it's going back and you're trying all these different styles, and it seems like you're getting good response from the public.
No, absolutely. We're getting a lot of good response. Again, as I said a couple of minutes ago, Arundel has always been known for the more traditional type beers.
Mm-hmm.
But people are starting to I read the reviews every day. People are starting to say, oh, whoa, look at Arundel. You know, they're actually starting to do some really good stuff, which is great for us because this is where we eventually want to get. But going back to the whole American thing, I think beer in America is 3-4 years ahead of us in terms of the styles, what they're doing. I'm actually going out to America in June.
Okay.
I do. I'm very much into flight simulation software.
Yep.
It's one of my hobbies aside brewing.
I thought you meant flights of beer.
That too.
Yeah, that too.
So I've done a bit of my private pilotizer. So I'm actually going to a conference to go be a geek for like 3 days.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Connecticut to Windsor Locks in Connecticut. There's a big flight sim conference there every year. So I'm going out there in June, and I'm actually going to go down to Wild Heaven Brewery in Atlanta in Decatur.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, Wild Heaven. So
we actually
done a collab with them.
Oh, you did?
We did a collab with them, and we actually still do it. I think they've dropped it, but we still do it. So I'm going out there, and I'm going to go spend a couple of days with the guys, and I'm going to just go see how they, you know, the things we're hearing from America now is like, what we just said, these big juicy, New England, Vermont style beers. And I think it's all coming from their water treatment. We're hearing big things about how they change the water, how they're adding sort of more chloride heavy type water. So these are the things I'm going to go steal from you guys.
Well, and now talking of the water, here in Sussex, of course, we're close to the South Downs, part of the South Downs, really.
Yeah.
And it's very chalky water, right?
Well,
do you have a problem with that water?
I think we actually get our water more so from Portsmouth, which, as you know, is...
A little bit down the road.
It's about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So we don't have too much problem with our water. At our current state of water, we mainly use an AMS, which is a sulfuric acid, which we treat our hard liquor tank.
Yep.
We don't have an RO unit or anything like that. And then we use DWB, which is...
Not WD-40?
No, not WD. Okay. Definitely not WD-40, no. So we use DWB, which is a mixture of gypsum and DWB. So we mainly use those two for our normal pails and bitters. To answer your question, no, we don't find the water too chalky because we get it more from sort of Portsmouth way and not from the South Downs.
And that's not under your control. That's under your county council's control.
Yes, exactly.
Whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We get our water. I guess like most breweries. They normally say once a year, but I try to get mine twice a year, and I've actually just recently got mine. And
what do you mean got yours? What, do they deliver it in a big gallon or something or what?
Sorry. let me sort of rephrase that. So we just send a sample to them, and they send us our results back. So that's what I get back.
Okay,
So when I say we get it back, I get my water report back. Yeah.
So you apparently here are now expanding big. You started small with what was it, a 6-barrel or something?
I think 92. I think it was a 6-barrel, and then they went up to 10, and we are now 20-barrel, and we are slowly. I think we another. 6 months to a year, I think we'll expand again. We've just got some new fermentation tanks coming in.
So you've got a shiny one in
there. Yeah, nice one in the corner
now,
there.
One of the things that you have to do in the States is to actually name each of your tanks. They
have
to have a name
for
corn to liquor license. I don't know if that's statewide or if it's national, but you don't have to do that here?
No, we don't have to do it. No, we...
Because I see you've got
I just call it
copper
my
on the side. Is that copper, say? An HLT? I don't know what that is. But
that's just the copper tank, the mash tun.
Just in case you forget
exactly. This original equipment is Merschler, which is a German-made company.
Oh, right, okay.
And since Brexit has happened, we were going to get some equipment from Israel. But
that's with, right. With, were they in the European Union?
No, not really.
I didn't think they were. But
since Brexit's happened, yeah, their equipment's gone really expensive. So we've gone local.
Oh, okay.
We've gone local. So we've got our tank from Melrix, which is a fabrication company up near Derby.
Okay.
Like the Midlands, yeah. So we've got another one on order. We hopefully get that in about another 2 months.
So you're really expanding.
Yeah, things are improving. We only brew once a day, but we're brewing every day, so 5 days a week. We've just hired another assistant brewer, Ollie, over there.
Okay.
So things are moving. So things are moving. Yeah, it's
so. Tell us a little bit about some of the beers that you do brew.
Okay.
I mean, what are the styles? I know. So one of the big things is that the ABV, okay, has an effect on the amount of tax you pay, right? Which is why when you come over here, you're getting a lot of, you know, 3.5, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Whereas in the States, you're getting bigger beers out there. And when you're talking about brewing those IPAs, those West Coast and those East Coast, they're all, you know, 5, 6, 7. Then you're talking 8%, you're getting Imperial and so on. So
absolutely.
How does that all affect how you brew? Which, to my way of thinking, I don't care what the ABV is, because one of my favorite styles is English Mild, right?
Okay.
So love that, and you can get a lot of flavor from it, but it's low alcohol, so you can, it's very pintable.
Yeah,
so.
Well, two things with that is, because Arundel is sort of in the country, a lot of our clients tend to order our lower ABVs, so their customers can have a pint or two at a 3.8 or a 3.7, and still drive home and get home safely.
Right.
So our more traditional stuff, like our Sussex Gold, which is just a real a golden ale. It's a 4.2. It's just a real easy grist. We use a Maris Otter. I throw a little bit of amber malt in there and a little bit of torrefied wheat. I mix it up with some English hops, some Goldings, and some Cascade. So American hops, and that's our biggest popular. And that's a 4.2. It's just a real nice, easy drinking. We do another one, which is a Castle. That's a 3.8. Mm-hmm. That is like a tawny bitter, so it's a bit of a brown color. Again, I mix that up with some English hops. I throw Sovereign, some Goldings, and again some Cascade. Our other traditional stuff, our biggest ABV-wise for our traditional stuff is a 5.5, which is a dark.
Right.
And that one is about, I use about five malts for that. And again, a lot of English hops. So you can see, you can see the picture here. All the core range is a lot of English hops, but a bit of American hops just thrown in just to sort of...
Did you do those for flavoring or bittering?
That's for flavoring.
Okay.
So mainly the English for bittering, and then those American Cascade hops all sort of flame out for flavor.
Visit Arundel in West Sussex, England, a gateway to the South Downs. The picturesque market town of Arundel spans the River Arun between the South Downs National Park and the Sussex coastline. The majestic 11th century Arundel Castle and Gothic Cathedral dominate the skyline of this historic town. Bray Castle has been the family home of the Dukes of Norfolk and their ancestors for nearly 1,000 years and was built at the end of the 11th century by Roger de Montgomery, Earl of Arundel. Within the spectacular grounds of Arundel Castle, there is plenty to do for the whole family. Whether you choose to visit the splendid summer historical and Shakespeare events, or take a stroll in the tranquil settings of the Collector Earl's Garden. The grounds are also home to the kitchen and organic gardens, and if the mood takes you, you can enjoy the stunning scenery from the castle keep.
We do... So we do 500ml bottles,
okay,
which seem to be very popular at the moment. Very popular. I know a lot of breweries do the 330, but our traditional stuff goes in 500, and then we do the traditional cask as well. You know, the hand pull on the cask. That's popular, and that's pretty much what we do with our traditional stuff: is hand pull cask or bottles. We don't put any of our traditional stuff in keg or can. The newer
you have started putting them in cans,
yes,
though, right?
This is where my newer recipes, my newer beers, what I've introduced since I've been here.
Put your stamp on it.
Yeah, exactly. We've put that in bottles, 330 bottles, uh-huh. Can and keg. And one or two going to cask as well, depending on what client we send to. So we've just done a really nice smokehouse porter. We've got a smoking place just across the road here.
Oh, okay.
So what we do is we go drop off a couple of bags of grain. They smoke it for 12 hours with apple and cherry wood chips. And we then bring it back. We throw that in our mash with our other grains. And that gives a real nice... I'll give you a taste of that.
That's a real smokiness, it's come out really nicely. What do they smoke other than that?
Believe it or not, they smoke a lot of stuff from America. Now you would think, why?
Wow.
You know, like you would think America is like the smoking country.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I mean, the import and export.
Like you would think the Americans know how to do smoking, but they get a lot of business from America. So they smoke things like salt, they smoke paprika, garlic, they smoke water.
Really?
They smoke water.
What would that be used
And to? They then send that water to supermarkets, and then the supermarkets steam their chickens with that smoky water.
Holy cow.
And the owner of it has got a patent on that, how they smoke.
Yeah.
And his business is growing growing really well. But anyway,
that's the great thing, because just to tell the listeners, we are in the middle of an industrial park that was built, I think, on an old aerodrome.
Yeah, this used to be
World War II aerodrome.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This is called Ford Industrial Estate, and it used to be an airfield, which they use for back in World War II.
Right.
When the English...
I was there then.
I wasn't quite.
I feel like it.
Going back to, what I was saying about the grain, another thing with Stuart, the owner, he wants to keep everything local. So, for example, I said to you, we did a nice... we don't actually have any left. We did a raspberry wheat beer, which we use Sussex raspberries.
Oh,
we like went out
wonderful.
And found like 60 to 70 kilograms of raspberries. Mm-hmm. So we want to do everything what we do here. We try sort of use what's around us.
Right, local is great.
We're going to be doing a strawberry and cream beer very soon to sort of tie in with Wimbledon.
Cream ale?
Yeah, like a cream ale type thing. So strawberries again. We're gonna find a local farmer. Yeah,
right.
Strawberries are slowly coming into season now, so we'll use those strawberries from a local farmer. So everything we try to, we use whatever we have around us, which is absolutely great. I did a pumpkin ale last year. We did a great pumpkin ale, and it was amazing.
Let me ask you a question on that, because pumpkin ales and me, it's a love-hate relationship.
Oh, is it a love-hate?
I love to hate them, all right? Because what I find typically with the pumpkin ales is that it's nothing to do with the pumpkins. It's mostly the spices, right, that you put into it.
Yes, I have to agree with you there.
You could taste
more spice than pumpkin.
Because
but it's nice just to say, hey, we threw pumpkin
so
in
So when
there,
you come out to Chicago, or come on out to Chicago anytime, I'll take you to a place where there's a friend of mine who brews it with, he smokes the pumpkins.
Oh, very nice.
Right, and then that gives it most of the flavour.
No,
and he puts very little spice in.
So
it turns out it's really, really nice. Yeah. I think it's an Imperial Stout he does
very
or something.
Nice.
I can't remember
very
off
nice.
The top of my head. Sorry, Ken. But, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that
we
you
did
guys
a really nice,
too.
Yeah, we did a, well, again, with my influence, it was our autumn seasonal beer,
mm-hmm.
and again it was just a bog standard autumn beer.
Yeah.
So I thought, no, come on, guys, let's mix this up a bit. So I threw we baked the pumpkin. Each of us took like 10 pumpkins home, but we just didn't use like I actually can't remember now. I can't remember the pumpkin, but it's not your big, you know, your big sort of white pumpkins. This was a small. It was almost like a blue color.
Oh, really?
The flavour from
I'm
it
not
was,
up on my pumpkin
no,
species.
No, me too. I also
so,
can't remember the...
By the way, the name of his beer was Oma Gourd, you see, because the pumpkin
Gourd.
Is a gourd, you see.
Okay, very
pretty
good.
Clever, but...
Very good, yeah.
You can use that, I'm sure
you would have. You would
have. So, you said you had the Smokehouse Porter.
Yeah, Smokehouse Porter is one of... Well, we did that last year. We did it again this year. Some of the newer ones, I mentioned to you, we do a collab with Wild Heaven mm-hmm. in Atlanta. They've stopped it, but we still carry on it. We have good feedback with it. We do a session IPA, so just like a 4.2 big hop mm-hmm. juice bomb, but nice and sessionable.
So let me ask you a question about the collaboration there, because
yeah.
how does that work when you're on this side of the Atlantic and they're there?
Well, yeah, that's a little
is
difficult.
Is it like an exchange of recipes?
Yeah, it's just an exchange of recipes. Okay. That was done before I started.
Okay.
But it was just, I think Eric, the head brewer at Wild Heaven, yeah, he sent the recipe over. I think the brewer at the time changed a couple of other things. And it was just back and forth, and then they agreed on something.
Right.
We actually just did a collab with a brewery in Portsmouth called Staggeringly Good.
I've heard of them.
We did a rye IPA.
Oh.
Which, a 6% rye IPA, which came out really, really
that's
good.
That's pushing the borders, isn't it?
Yeah, that was, I was very, really happy how that came out.
I do like a good rye IPA. That's
I don't know if we've got any of those left as well.
It's a sellout.
It is a sellout. Well, we only did a small run of those. We just did a 10-barrel, 18-heck brew on that. But we're going to brew it again at the end of the year. We're going to brew it again with them in November. I'm just trying to think what else we've... We've done another type of table beer, like a 3.4 table beer. I wasn't 100% happy with that. I'm going to work on that a little mm-hmm. bit. It was an experimental brew. But you know what? It was good enough to can, and we've had some good feedback on it. But you know what? I'm my worst critic. You know, I'm going to put, you know, I'm... we've got some, you know, it's only April. We've got some exciting stuff coming. We've got this strawberries and cream beer coming. I want to do a sour beer. I'm going to do a goes.
You know, sour is the new IPA. That's
sours are doing really well in the UK. I'm going to do a goes. I'll do like a nice blood orange goes. Come winter time, I'm going to do like and I can never say this right, but a Morello cherry stout. Morello big.
I know what you mean.
Those big juicy, and I think they're a bit of a sour taste on them as well, or like a tart taste on them. So we want to do one of those.
And interesting, you're talking about fruit beers, because we just, at our show, we just reviewed a bunch of different fruit beers, one being a chocolate cherry stout, the other one being a blood orange IPA
from
21st Amendment.
Okay, I've heard of those guys.
I like the 21st Amendment one. The chocolate cherry stout was from a small brewery in Iowa, and it disappointed.
Okay.
But, you know, we can't win them all
exactly.
the time.
No, and I'm sure those guys will make it. But going back to my American trip, when I'm up doing my geeky flying stuff, I'm actually popping to Boston first.
Oh, right.
And I'm going to go pop into Trillium.
Oh, yes. Very nice.
Because those guys are getting a lot of exposure over here. Everyone sort of... trying to get our hands on Trillium.
Don't forget to go to Sam Adams, because Sam Adams, say what you will, they're big, but
unfortunately, I'm only in Boston literally for like 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
So
got to pick it right then.
Yeah. So I'm going to see him in Boston. Then we're going to drive down to Connecticut where this conference is. And he said to me, Brendan, I know you want to see Trillium, so we'll pop in there. We've got noisy stuff in the brewery today.
That's what a brewery's all about, you know?
Exactly,
a working brewery. Well, listen, this is absolutely fascinating. Do you have a sample of that smokehouse?
Yes, I'll get you a sample.
Oh, good man. I want to at least try that.
Yes.
Thanks very much for taking
You're
time
very
out
welcome.
Of your day. We'll
no,
come
absolutely.
Back and I'll give you a quick review on that.
Yeah,
because I love the smokehouse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a quick pause.
Yeah.
All Right, so he's gone off and he's got his lovely Smokehouse Porter here, which is coming in a regular size can. This would be our 12-ounce can. And the Smokehouse Porter is coming in at 6%, so we're pushing the high level. As he was pouring it out, I was kind of commenting that it looked like a thicker porter, and it certainly is, but I think it's also, you know, you should never judge it by your eyes,
no,
right?
Absolutely.
But that's what you look at first.
Yeah, no, it is. I agree, it has got quite, it's got nice lacing. And
yeah,
it's got a nice,
beautiful, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's got a nice creamy brown top look.
No, absolutely.
You can get a very, very subtle smokiness as you do the aroma.
We've had a lot of people saying too much smoke, smokiness, not enough. But majority of the reviews have said, yeah, it's just a nice subtle smoky flavor, which I agree. I don't think we should put less. I don't think we should put more.
No, so we always give it the three sip rule here, because the first one of these, I was getting the smokiness coming through. As I got used to that, and I would say it's a very subtle smokiness, I'm getting more and more of the background porter taste. You know,
yeah, that's
traditional,
right.
Maltiness and kind of that roasty toasty.
That's it.
Like,
and you can taste a little bit of coffee.
I'm definitely getting that traditional porter.
Yeah,
flavor
no, there's definitely
now.
Porter flavor.
But then,
because that's
that,
another thing I didn't want the smokiness to, you know, to be the most overpowering taste, and I didn't want to take it away from that, the sort of a traditional porter type beer. Again, I think at our brewery shop, we got a brewery shop
in Arundel itself.
Yeah. For example, a couple of people on the weekend absolutely loved it, and then you had a couple of people say, "Oh no, too smoky."
Well,
so you know, it's not going to suit everyone. Yeah,
it's not going
to suit everyone's. I think not so much now, even though it's but great today. But I think this for a nice autumn, winter style beer.
Sorry, I can drink porters throughout the year.
Oh, really? Well,
care.
You know, the funny thing is, I actually love stouts.
Yeah, me too.
Right through the year. I love stouts right through the year. So
this is tremendous because it's not something that I see all the time.
Okay.
I haven't come across it. I've come across, as I say, a lot of the American pale ales. Longman does one that is a blonde ale, so it's a lighter side.
Yeah, that's right.
But a porter, I expect, you know, a nice, good traditional porter, but with smoky flavour. That's great. That's a good departure.
Good.
So, what else are you doing that's out, a departure that's available for people? Any milk stouts?
I've done a milk stout. I've done a coffee milk stout.
Oh, nice.
Did a coffee milk stout. Then, as I said, we did the New England IPA. That we don't have any left.
Right,
that's just flying off the shelf.
So do you do a run of a beer, see if it flies, and then if it really is popular, you'll repeat it?
Yeah, we'll repeat it, absolutely. I've actually, funny enough, we're picking up a little pilot kit tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
I'm picking up a pilot kit tomorrow, which I'm going to set up, and that will be, our pilot brews. We've been wanting to get that for a while, but we've obviously, you know, we've been needing other stuff before the pilot kit. But we
focus on the business first.
Exactly. So we're getting the pilot kit tomorrow. So now that we're going to start doing the smaller brews, and then we can work on those brews. And then when we're happy with that little pilot, you know, that little pilot brew, then I'm happy enough with that. Then I can go brew it on the, you know, on our big kits and that. So
right. Well, this is an absolute treat. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Is there any more in here?
Because
what we have to do is, when we always finish up our podcast, we always have to go with a cheers.
Okay.
So let me pour you a little more here. And I'll have the most because it's bloody great, I tell you. I would recommend this one if you like a smoked beer. This is very subtle, and I'm glad I tasted something different.
Excellent. Good. I'm glad you like it.
So, Brandon?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You know, I know somebody
good.
Called Brandon. We have two Brandons
fine.
Who are
Mine's
Chicago,
mine's spelled B-R-E-N-D-E-N, which is quite quite unusual, because normally it's A-N or an O-N.
Well, you're a foreigner like me.
Yeah, exactly. So
so anyway, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Cheers. We got plastic, so.
Oh.
There we go. Okay.
Cheers.
We love that. Thank you, and thanks to all your other brewers over there who've been working hard whilst
we've been chatting here, taking
a break. Very good. Cheers, man.
You've,
I appreciate
you're
it.
You're very
all.
Welcome.
Cheers.
I'm glad you like it. Thank you.
Bitten Yankee! Bitten Yankee! I'll have a pint, Yankee. No, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.